This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The night is young, the skies are clear.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. In the coming week, the Canticle Singers will be presenting its Voci Vivace, a choral concert. This community choir is 25 years old, going on 26, and part of its mission is to sing and raise money for charity. Voci Vivace will take place Saturday, October 6th and Sunday, October 7th at 8:30 p.m. at the Luther Lead Center on 7 Jalan Duta Kiara in Mok Kiara. And with me are two who are involved in this choral presentation, Joanne Po, the music director and conductor, and Patrick Leong, tenor and gospel recording artist. Joanne, before we jump into talking about this concert that's coming up, we need to find out a bit about you and Patrick here also. Our listeners are interested to know about the people that we talk to, and more so when you are doing something quite unusual. So what's your background in music?
I'm actually a singing teacher. I studied music, majoring in voice and performance, and currently I teach full-time as a voice teacher and also piano teacher. But for piano-wise, I only take in special needs students.
What does that mean? What are special needs? Okay. People who are really terrible and have kind of pitch.
That sounds like a possible option now. Right, when we mention special needs, it means that we have a community of people where they have either disabilities, physical disabilities, and or disorders. For instance, what I work mainly with is people with kind of ASD, autism spectrum disorder.
But based on my understanding, young people with autism tend to be withdrawn, or that they don't interact well socially?
Yes, that's right. What you've just mentioned is actually a part of the key characteristics or traits of someone with autism. On top of that, they have social awkwardness, where they are not able to get in touch with how they feel and therefore not being able to express in what we perceive in a normal way. When I work with them through music, it helps them to be in touch, be using music as a medium. For instance, now I'm talking to you, you're able to read my facial expression. You understand the tone of my voice and you can discern whether I'm angry or I'm just being very nice or polite. But for someone with autism, they struggle with understanding or trying to discern which is what and what is what. So therefore, through music, and there's the pitch and the tone melodically that we're talking about. It stimulates a part of their brains. And sometimes it just touches the spirit, the soul at some point. And it kind of opens up a portal in this child to help them to go, aha, you know, I can relate to this. Instead of just saying that, hey, you know, this is how you sound like when you're angry. They may not be able to relate. But when I use a song that shows that, okay, this is how I am angry, things like that. And they say, oh, this is how I can relate to it, yeah.
So this is very much about educating them how to read other people's expressions by listening to music. Is that what I'm understanding?
Just a part of it. I wouldn't say it is in its entirety because at the end of the day, it is still multiple facets to it. I wouldn't dare claim that music plays a 100% role in teaching someone with autism expressions or trying to comprehend fully what a form of emotion is all about. But it does contribute.
How does music contribute to their well-being?
Oh, plenty. I will not say that it's really like fully researched or proven in that sense. But based on my years of experience working with people with ASD, like I form choir groups. I'm with the National Autism Society of Malaysia and I have my NASO Maestro children. It consists of 15 children with autism. Through this platform in a choir, they actually could pick up a few skills. One, mainly teamwork. More often than not, an autistic person tends to be more withdrawn. Yeah. But through choir platforms and meeting once a week, somehow kind of assist and promote the child to learn that, hey, I'm not living alone in my world, but I have people around me, and become more and more aware about on their surroundings, on relationships, on relating with people. Because singing in a choir, you have no choice but to do those sort of things to meet such expectations.
Actually, I'm more interested in this than I'm about the concert. What did you have to do to bring them together? If kids on the autism spectrum tend to be withdrawn, how do you put them together to say, let's start singing? Or the form of autism they have is slightly milder.
Not necessarily. I work with rather severe ones and all the way to children with who are diagnosed with Asperger, which is what we call high-functioning autism. They vary, you know, the degrees and difference is very, very big. I have to work individually for a start. And of course, prior to them coming into the choir, I have to do the standard thing, which is an audition. Firstly, to make sure that they are also verbal, because if you have a child who is non-verbal, then that would probably require more one-on-one attention to get the child to start making sounds, creating phonetics. And there's 101 things to do prior to having them in the choir. But once, should they pass the audition and should they be able to come into the choir, then that is when we have role-playing. I use stories. Social stories is another method where we have visuals on charts and on manila cardboards to show them what you should do in lessons and what they can expect in lessons too.
I understand that you'll have a singer who has Asperger who will be performing with you. How old is he?
He's 21. He just turned 21.
We'll come back and talk about him before Patrick falls asleep and think that we've ignored him. Patrick, you're a gospel singer. What's the difference between gospel singing and the singing of sacred music?
Generally, the term gospel, you know, was birthed through American culture. The African-American cultures that birthed gospel music and termed it as gospel music. So in that sense, it's more of a referential point of a singing style, one that carries a lot of soul. As to sacred music, it's about the representation of the sacredness of who God is.
You know, if I have some people here who are from groups that sing sacred music, they'll say, why do you say we sing without soul?
No. Sacred music has to do a lot with not just the soul, but the spirit.
Gospel, no spirit.
Definitely there are two. It's just that in sacred music, there's a greater intimacy expressing from the person within you, of your relationship with God. You know, of course, gospel music, to me, I picked up a lot of gospel singers from the African-American reference of singers, and that helped develop my, you know, essence of understanding what soul is. But the sacredness of it is a completely different understanding for me. It's more personal. It's more intimate.
As far as gospel singing in Malaysia is concerned, how long has it been here?
Well, Christian music is generally what we often hear. In the context of Malaysian Christian music, it's generally termed as Christian music or church music. We hardly actually use the term gospel music because, it's an American culture, American term. But it has been here since, you know, the first churches that started here in Malaysia over 500 years in Malaya. That back then. And I think since then, of course, Christian music has evolved with, of course, technology over time. It has improved. It has enabled the level of Christian music to also grow and improve over the years, you know, with technology.
I'm aware that there are people who are performing sacred music in Malaysia. I don't normally hear about a gospel group having a concert. Does this happen?
Well, in the Malaysian context, from before 2018, I think we all know, every Malaysian know that Malaysia is a Muslim nation. You know, we respect as the many cultures and diversity that we have here in our nation. We do give honor and respect to the primary religion of Malaysia, which is the Muslim, you know, but apart from that, we have been, to some extent, given the freedom to exercise our rights as Christians and to have Christian music or Christian concerts, but in the context of a confined arena, you know, whether it's in a church, whether it's, and of course, we also have to have clauses, you know, on posters that says for Christians only, a Christian event, you know, so that it doesn't get entangled with any governmental issues, you know.
But yeah. Are there gospel choirs that perform concerts?
Well, not yet. I think openly in the context of on an open event in Malaysia, well, we'll see how that's going to develop, because it really depends on where the current state of government is going.
Is it because gospel music is more like pop music?
There's a certain characteristics in gospel music.
What are they?
It really gets the groove from within you too. You know, when you hear something going, and your hands or your feet, you know, just automatically just start to get into the groove and rhythm.
You know, I guess you haven't gone to a club lately.
Oh, no, I don't go to clubs. Yeah. I believe there are a lot of them out there. It's just that we are often influenced by a very large, broad spectrum of Christian music that, of course, around the world, you know, whether it's from Australia or from Britain, that has influenced the style of playing and the way we sing. But we somehow do not look at the American gospel style, because it's, to me, that's one of the richest contexts of gospel music.
Do Malaysian churches have a particular style to it? Is there a kind of a rasa sayang feel to it?
Well, up to this point, it comes back to a certain word called identity. I think we are kind of losing the identity of what our sound should be like. You know, the instruments of the land, traditional instruments that has long been around, but of course, over time, they have become obsolete, you know, because through generations, you know, they've forgotten how to play these instruments. And so much we have then adopted what we are so fond of, our preference to international music and styles and songs. So over time, I think we've lost a little bit of that identity, but we are slowly regaining that back through some well-known instrumentalists who plays the traditional instruments like sape, my good friend Anderson Kalang. Slowly, I think the church and Christian music is beginning to be more receptive to having instruments like that, you know, incorporated in our music.
Patrick Leong and Joanna Po. Patrick is the tenor and Joanne Po the conductor. They are both participating in the upcoming choral concert, Voci Vivace. Coming up, we will get a preview of this concert. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
When I go to walk that golden street, not gonna stumble my feet.
Good afternoon. You're tuned to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Hing. In the first half of the interview, Joanne Po, the conductor of the choral concert Voci Vivace, talked about teaching music to young people on the autism spectrum. Patrick gave us a whirlwind lesson on gospel music, especially gospel music in Malaysia. Patrick, a tenor and a gospel recording artist, will be singing gospel songs together with the choir. Okay, now we'll turn to your concert. Who has put this program together?
Our most respected, Mr. Chong Hong Kit, H.K. Chong, and of course with his co-producer, Mr. Chong King Kiat. They both have worked very hard, and I believe that they have put in a lot of effort trying to screen through the thousands of songs that are available online and out in the market to reduce it into a 90-minute program, though. These two persons are the key people who decided on this repertoire.
So I'm not sure whether you are the right person to ask. You are the one conducting, right?
Yes.
Did you ask of the person who has put this repertoire together, why so eclectic?
First thing first, it's very, very. It is just a part of the Canticle Singers over all these years. Even when I first joined them in the year 2008, I've also started with singing such an eclectic mix of repertoire of songs. Yeah, and it has thus stayed on till this year, with the exception that there's an increment of songs in Tagalog from the Philippines, which is very beautiful. The audience will get to hear one very well-arranged and composed music called Ikaw for in this year's concert.
Sung by the Canticle Singers, but conducted by...
It will be conducted by me, but this piece was written for actually the Magical Singers. So we are actually very brave to attempt something which actually was originally performed by the European Grand Prix choir singers and winners, yeah. So we do look forward to that. It is rather nerve-wracking at times, initially especially for me to study that piece and to lead the choir, especially in a foreign language, Tagalog. I don't speak Tagalog. But we have been very privileged to have Mr. Joy Nilo from the Philippines to come over all the way from Manila to also coach and help us through, especially for this particular piece.
With such a diverse genre of music that you'll be performing, is one genre simpler or easier than another? Like, is pop singing John Lennon's music easier than singing Mozart or anything from the musicals?
On a very general note, yes, at some point, because we are living in a generation of pop, and this music are more current, so therefore the singers are able to relate to, compared to, let's say, one of the pieces that we're doing, Iron and Alleluia. Okay, with the piece, not the text, but the music was written originally by J.S. Bach. So that was like 400 years back. So it was 4 years ago, those were their pop music. But for us, it is, oh gosh, long time ago. Can we relate to it? If I were to compare, if there's a particular genre that's easier to work with and to relate, to interpret in that sense, then actually, yes. But in due time and with a lot of practice, homework, research done, and like for myself to lead the choir, I have to do at least 10 times more the work than my fellow friends in the choir in terms of understanding, acquiring knowledge. Then, of course, it can still be done. It's not entirely impossible. But we try our level best, especially for, like, as we have mentioned, such an eclectic mix, right, for this year. In fact, we have, like, pop ballads. We have jazz. We have one spiritual, which is Nothing's Gonna Stumble My Feet. So it is so different, so diverse.
Patrick, you are actually listed as one of the composers that people will be singing. You have an original composition here?
Yeah, there'll be one that will be sung. It's one that's really... What I can tell you about this one song that I'm doing, it's a sound and a rhythm that represents who I am. If you ever were to hear who Patrick Leong is, this is the song, because this is a song that sounds from what is inside me. Yeah, so that will be one of the pieces that will be previewed.
Are you singing with the choir or are you singing a solo?
Well, just one solo, and but of course the rest, you know, with a great choir like that, you know, you can't resist, because it really gets the soul going, it really gets the gospeliness out of me to be able to, you know, sing with this awesome choir, for sure.
See, with a song like Lean On Me, that's the right word. I can see it. I can feel it as coming across as gospel. Is that one of the songs that's going to be done that way?
Well, Lean On Me is definitely a piece. Yeah, for sure. Yep, that's one of them. Yeah.
But it's also a pop song, right?
It is. It is. But the way that they have rehearsed, so that's why guys come on the 6th October, 7th October, because on the time of our rehearsal, the last time, you know, I walked into the room and they were singing and it just got my feet and my hands just, you know, moving to the groove. And so I'm so excited to be able to sing with them.
Joanne, earlier when we were talking, we mentioned this young man who will be singing, who has Asperger. Tell us a little bit about him. It's not regular that we will hear about somebody with Asperger singing with a choir.
Yeah, it is not common, actually. So, yes, we have Joelle Lau on board with us. In fact, in one of our choir members, we have Ewan, who is also actually Asperger, but he's very, very independent adult. But coming back to Joelle, yes, we decided to have him aboard with us, you know, just to give it a try and also to give him... It's also, I guess, a part of an incentive because we both just came back from Korea. We represented Malaysia just last month.
He represented Malaysia. Yes. What was the event?
It was actually the Pyeongchang Special Music and Arts Festival. The Taizin is an initiative together with done with the Korean government and also with the International Olympic Council. Yeah, basically, they come, it's two bodies coming in together to promote a 5 days camp yearly in every summer in Korea, up in Pyeongchang, actually, to give an opportunity for special needs people group. Regardless of whether they're autistic or Down syndrome or multiple disabilities, they can be blind or handicapped. Yeah, to give them an opportunity to go through a 5 days intensive music course. And every year, they only invite per participant per nation. Mm. So this year, Joelle was selected. And it was amazing, even for me, as I accompanied him. And it's just so wonderful to especially see how him, being falling under the special needs category group, how he actually responds even better, especially when we meet there's a society or a group of people, community, that accepts and embrace differences. When I work with autistic people, right, that's one thing that I've really learned. One of the greatest lesson or value that I really learned from them was they do not see skin color. They connect with you immediately, heart to heart. It sounds cliche, but I sit here this evening bearing testimony and, you know, if you allow me being the voice for this many, many children and adults with special needs and differences behind me. And as a normal person myself, it really touches my heart that, my gosh, you know, I learned to embrace anyone without seeing how they are, how they look like, how much money they have in their bank account, what cars or what house they live in or they drive in, and especially more so, never the skin color, but just for who you are. You love, they love.
I think it's a very humbling thing for... I mean, you consider those of us, you know, as featured singers, but really, I think it's a very humbling process, even for us to have... such, you know, in the choir, it just tells us that, hey guys, you know, it's possible. Embrace them. It is a possibility.
When I talk to people who are performing in the arts or whose livelihood are part of the arts, who teach the arts, I get the sense that the arts are not something you do on the side. Are not something that we as human beings engage in when we have nothing else to do. Like, you know, read a book when you have nothing else to do. When the arts are so important, why is it culturally it's marginalized?
Exposure, education.
Education,
and
culture, yeah.
Acceptance, actually. This is what, for me as a music teacher, I realize, and it's an uphill battle.
You know, when we grew up in school, in my time, we had art stream, science stream. You know how our parents used to be, you know, you have to study hard and make sure you get into the science stream, you know, because the art streams are useless, you know, but obviously I'm in the art stream and I'm happy about it, you know. I think part of that is our growing up in how we were led to, you know, perceive arts, yeah.
What song is Joel singing?
Something from the Beatles, Let It Be. How apt, right? Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Joanne Poh and Patrick Leong. Both are performing at the Canticle Singers' Voci Vivace, a choral presentation to be held at the Luther Lead Center on Jalan Duta Kiara in Mot Kiara. The date and time of the performances, Saturday, October 6th, and Sunday, October 7th at 8:30 p.m. The ambassador of Italy to Malaysia, His Excellency Cristiano Maggi Pinto, is the patron of the Voci Vivace concert.
Mark Anthony Capio, the choir master of the world-acclaimed Philippine Madrigal Singers, will guest conduct a Filipino arrangement on Sunday, October 7th. Tickets to the performances are 88 ringgit and available online at tickettoyou.com.my. And this is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Let it be. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.